Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601 horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Doran Dickerson here with you. Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. Adam Crowley, he is out for 2 weeks. Pat Bostick will join the show at 7 a.m. He'll be on the show until 9 a.m. Ray Fittipaldo at 8 a.m. John Wehner, 8:30. And Doug Whaley from 9 to 10 a.m. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Pirates win last night. Big win. Scored a lot of runs early. Mitch Keller was on the mound. We will get to him in a little bit. But, Callis, you know, you were diving into Charrington on your early morning show earlier. And just there's one word that pops to mind right now for this Pirates team, and we were talking yesterday, we're kind of in the dumps a little bit, Crowley and I, of saying we don't know what direction this is going to go in, because this is just such a roller coaster of a season for the Pirates. You don't know what team is going to be put out there. Literally, you never know which lineup is going to be put out there, but they had the lineup up out there last night, and a lot of guys hit the ball. Gonzalez, he's got out of his slump, and that's the guy that I want to point to, and I'll come back and circle to him. He got out of his slump. Cruz had a hit. And Dan Zangrilli told us offline 2 days ago that watch Cruz very intently this series. He's probably going to be playing his best ball this series. He did have an error last night when he threw the ball at 900 miles per hour to first base and knocked Rowdy Tellez's glove off. But he has shown up because Ellie De La Cruz, his boy, is obviously on the other side and playing shortstop, the 267 shortstops that he likes to compete against. He has, you know, he has played decent. So he had a hit last night. Chiriolo had a home run last night, and I asked Neil Walker on Monday, can you please give us an explanation of why the lineup construction was like it was on Sunday with Gonzalez and McCutchen being out of the lineup, even though Gonzalez was in a slump? And he couldn't really give an explanation, but he said the best explanation is they want to get Triola going. Well, he got going last night, and he hit a home run. Tellez had two hits, so he found it back again. You know, I circle back to Gonzalez, and Gonzalez got brought up, what, the day before or the day of or the day after Skeens was announced, right? That was basically like the same time. So he was hot in AAA. They bring him up, and for a month, Gonzalez was literally the vessel for the Pirates hitting the way that they did and keeping them alive. And then he went through a slump, but he's going to be the root here. he's going to be the root for the Pirates if they go down this stretch and they go through the rest of this season, and if they start hitting, if they start playing well, if they see themselves in it, he, to me, is going to be the root to them being somewhere that they are aspiring to be. And having the three hits and getting out of that slump is so important for him and so important for this team, because they don't have much. They don't. We talked about it yesterday. And we'll get to Brian Reynolds in the next segment. But they don't have much. They have McCutchen. He didn't have a hit yesterday. I think he had a walk. But you're relying on a 37-year-old to bring you production at the plate. You're relying on Brian Reynolds, who has a 22-game hit streak. But outside of that, I mean, Cruz sometimes, you know, he's on and he can help. Some people think he's been underwhelming. Some people think that he's been right where expected. You just don't have much. And Tellez has found it, but, you know, I mean, throughout the first, what, month and a half or 2 months of the season, he couldn't hit the, you know, he couldn't get anything.
Couldn't hit the broad side of a barn.
That's what I was looking for, yeah. But I was going to say it wrong, so I just chose not to say it. So thank you. But Gonzalez, you know, for him to get out of that, I think that is very important. And yesterday, you know, some people were calling for Andy Haynes to be fired. I personally don't think that that's going to help anything at this point. And I know that they won't do that, but even if they did do that, what is it going to help? Like, what direction are they going to go in? Are they going to stick with the same philosophy? Or are they going to change the philosophy? Like, Gonzalez, I don't know. Like, even though that they hit well yesterday, what is the root and how do they find the consistency? That's the word that I'm focusing on. Well, I think it's hard in baseball, I get it, to find consistency, but how do they find that?
I think Crowley and I have this opinion, and I've said this before about Haynes. I think that sometimes when you bring in somebody fresh who can give you a different approach. I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, in football cases, it's more tangible to see what they do in football because you have plays.
Yeah.
And you're seeing how they're executed. You can't always see how a player thinks about hitting or thinks about, you know, their mechanics. It's very subtle. It's very quick. So you're not always looking at that. You really need a deep dive to, like, slow them down and see what they even may be thinking or may be, you know, approaching at bats with. But I think if you give somebody the opportunity to bring a fresh approach in, because you should never, not never, but like.
But you're not going to bring anybody in the middle of the season.
Yeah, that's true. And that's tough. And I wish they did, but they're not. I get it. But, I mean, just why I hold this opinion, you should rarely be going out for outside help when you have a coach on the team who's supposed to be doing that. And that's just not a great look for the team. And so I think that somebody who could bring in fresh ideas and maybe a fresh approach, and they could consolidate better within instead of needing players to go out, I just think that that would help. Mm-hmm. I think that a different mentality, I think that being able to teach them something or teach the players something that they don't already know, or just having a coach who's player friendly, who can have them be confident in what they already know how to do, what got them to the majors.
That's kind of where I'm at, Kyle. It's like right there. I'm glad that you said that. Is I feel like it's a fine line of overcoaching and trying to change, you know, players to your philosophy. And that I've seen that in football a lot. It's like, you play to my offense, we don't play to your skills. And that happens a lot in football. I don't agree with it. And I think the best offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators play to their talent, play to their personnel. And that's what Arthur Smith does. So that's why I'm excited that he was hired. But I do feel like it's a fine line, especially in baseball, where if you do have a philosophy as a hitting coach, that you don't go too far of changing why guys are there. And especially a guy who was a top 10 pick like Nick Gonzalez. Now, Henry Davis, I do believe it is a pressure issue. Guys like that, I think, need tinkered with, and you want to get the best out of them. But guys that already can hit and have the talent, why even mess with it? Why even mess with it? It's almost like Oscar Marine right now. Like, why even touch it? Oscar Marine has the best job in Major League Baseball right now. Right now. He has the best job. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. No.
I mean, he's sitting back eating sunflower seeds. It's a lot harder than that. I'm joking, but, like, why even mess with it?
Yeah.
Why coach? You're going to coach. You're going to manage. I get it. You're going to have the structure for the guys and day in and day out, the operational duties that you need to make sure your pitcher's mindset and their bodies are right. I get that. Yes. But coaching-wise, why even bleep with it? And sometimes with hitters, too, I feel like, why even mess with it? With Cruz, like, he has so much talent. You know, he has so much. He's so explosive. Now, if he can't locate the ball and he can't get in sync, yeah, those are one things. But, like, to change a guy's approach and change a guy's stance and change this and change that whenever it's almost a needed, I think, is a malpractice of coaching. I don't know if that's the situation with the Pirates right now, but I don't know what direction to turn.
It feels like, I mean, to me, when I observe too, it feels like it's backwards from their approach they had about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Ray Searidge was very much a coach who wanted to, it seemed like, you know, have the pitchers have the same form, that one size fits all that was very notorious back in that time that, you know, was known to perhaps limit Gerrit Cole, you know, because you saw what he did after his time with the Pirates. But, like, it seems backwards now. It's like, I don't even remember who the Pirates hitting coach was back then, but the Pirates hitters were hitting, and there was no complaints there. But sometimes the pitching got scrutiny because it seemed like they were pitching to contact and not, you know, always getting the best out of their pitchers, like with Morton and Cole and those guys. Now it's different. Now it's the hitters that seem like they're being adjusted too much, and Oscar Marina, the pitching coach, is just like, hey, you know what? I got good starters, and thank you, Charrington, for them, and we'll be fine. You know,
how do you find consistency? Like, what do you expect out of them today? Like, I mean, in what lineup too? Like, you know, I kind of putting you on the spot here, but like, I, you know, they have a 1 p.m. start, so it's kind of a quick turnaround for a lot of guys. I bet you what DeLay will probably be in there today at catcher, but like, how do you find that consistency? How do you find the momentum in baseball? Like, I can feel momentum in football. I can feel momentum in basketball. Somewhat hockey a little bit. I thought that Edmonton had the momentum and I thought that they were honestly going to win the other night. But hockey is such a crapshoot. It's such a tough sport because you're mixing really all sports into one, but you're on skates. You know, you have to be so technically sound.
You have to get through a 7-game series four times.
Yes,
too.
That's yes. Tough. Like, yeah. That is just a sidecar of a sport, in my opinion, whenever it comes to momentum. But like, how do you carry and feel momentum in baseball, especially at the plate? And how do you use that for production?
See, I wish that they hadn't done what they did with the lineup early on, like just mixing it up constantly. I was never a proponent of...
He's been doing that for years. I mean, since he's been here, though, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it made more sense before because you're trying guys out. You understand that you're not going to compete for playoff status. We all understood that from 2020 to 2022. It was, okay, you know... They're not good, and they've got players that they want to try to develop. We get that. Now, though, it's different because you have McCutchen back, somebody who's been a notoriously good leadoff hitter, and they've been keeping him there recently, which is good. But I think that it's important to have consistency, too, by putting together a consistent lineup at least 5 days of the week.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I'm a batter and I'm in there, I mean, there were times where I hit in high school, I'd bet fourth sometimes, I'd bet seventh sometimes. Mm-hmm. They're two very different mentalities.
Right, right.
And I didn't always like switching that up.
Right.
Because I wanted to be put in more of those situations as a cleanup hitter if I were going to be there, or just be seventh because then I'd have more of a contact approach when I was up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the mixing up of the lineup. I think it would help the starters to get into a routine if they had a consistent place in the lineup every time. I mean, that's just my opinion from very, you know, basic knowledge of baseball or experience with baseball is that you need to get into a routine and you need to get that consistency, whether it's making the lineup the same, you know, having the same routines as you go up to the batter's box. Sometimes it's tough now too, though, because guys can't take as long as they want to. They can't
have those
bat routines that they have. So maybe that's a factor. You know, I couldn't tell, but I think that to breed consistency, you have to begin with, you know, having consistency in different places to then get the same results. The same prep gets you usually the same results.
And the guy that has been doing that, it's showing. It's showing. The guy that has been having the consistency in the same spot, you know, day in and day out, really hasn't taken a break all year. It's proven that it's beneficial to him. And guess what, Callis? We're going to talk about that guy.
Hey, everybody. Chuff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland. And so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days, starting July 24th, and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA, our label means more.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the IONIQ 5 and IONIQ 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower IONIQ 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 303-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 5 SE SEL limited rear-wheel drive and 361-mile driving range for 2024 IONIQ 6 SE long-range rear-wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
It's been a three-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports Podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And next, Fair Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection. Thor Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. Callis, Brian Reynolds, 22-game hitting streak. 22 games. I mean, he's been obviously one of the bright spots of the Pirates. I can't say he is the bright spot, but he's one of the bright spots of the Pirates, and really the one of the reasons why that they are in any games in the last like month of June. He does this every year, but not to this extent. Can you guess, Nicholas Harry Callis, can you guess who the last Pittsburgh Pirate was to have a 22-game hitting streak? They actually had 23 games, so today Brian Reynolds would be able to tie that person. Let me say this real quick. I think all time with the Pirates, it might be 26 games. I don't know who it is. But the last Pirate to have a 23-game hitting streak was who?
Willie Stargell.
Nope. Okay. You get three guesses. You get two more.
Hannes Wagner.
Nope. Final guess.
Can you give me an era?
I would say you probably were between the ages. You're in between 5 years old.
Maybe. Is it Freddy Sanchez?
No.
Okay.
No, but yeah, you weren't. Maybe between 4 years old.
Wasn't Jason Bay.
Close.
Outfielder?
No.
Who is it?
Jason Kendall.
Oh, that makes sense.
Jason Kendall. I'm surprised you didn't go with that first. You're a catcher.
I always forget about him. Like, when I was growing up, he was gone. Like, or no, well, not entirely true.
Right.
I don't have memories of him because
yeah,
he left
young.
The team in 04, so I was five. I don't really remember.
See, he's like the first Pirate that I like remember. Like,
my friend's a big fan of his.
Yes, I was a big, big Jason Kendall fan. Like, I remember clear as day when he broke his foot on first base. Remember clear as day. But yeah, Jason Kendall. He was the last Pirate to have a 23-game hitting streak, and Brian Reynolds could probably tie that today. Pirates take on the Reds at 1:10 p.m. in Cincinnati. But, I mean, Brian Reynolds has been fantastic. I mean, you could just tell his confidence at the plate. Like, we talk about, you know, the routine. We talk about the consistency and being in sync of seeing the ball and hitting the ball. And every time he's up to the plate, you could just feel the confidence. Through the TV.
They need not tell him that June is ending.
Yes.
They just need to pretend like
nothing's happening.
The month just didn't end.
No. Right, right.
June 1st, next week. Yep.
He talked after the game yesterday. 22-game hit streak. Unbelievable. Here is Brian Reynolds.
Yeah, it was nice to get some runs in the first inning and just keep building off it throughout the game. So we needed that.
Some aggressive base running in the first as well. Did you guys talk about that as a team going in?
No, but, you know, I think when we're at our best, using our athleticism like Cruz did. So, you know, it's just something we're going to keep doing.
Pretty impressed with Rowdy? That stolen base in the first?
Yeah, he's got some wheels on.
Sure does.
That feel a little bit like April of last year baseball with how aggressive you guys were on the bases?
Yeah, I guess. Just a lot of things clicking. Like you said, Rowdy, Cruz, Kutch. So, yeah, just got it.
How is it that you remain to be such a constant offensively? Great stuff against
me. Yeah, we up and down. We had pretty good at bats. Got some runs in. Like I said, we needed that, so it's good.
That long hitting streak that you had in 2019, do you remember much from it? Just how you were feeling during that stretch?
No, not really. Just remember Newman doing it, I think, around the same time. So he texted me a couple days ago about it. So.
Pretty impressed by it, I guess.
He had some things to say.
So that was Brian Reynolds. I mean, the music in the background wasn't great, but, you know, you can get the gist that he is not excited about his hit streak. You know, listen to his voice. There was no inflection. He wasn't like, yeah, this is great. Helping the team win this. No, he's just kind of just him. And just like, yeah, this is what I'm basically supposed to do. I'm getting paid $100 million, and I expect myself to do this. And
do you like that he responds very monotone?
Yes.
You like that about him?
I do a little bit. It's weird that I like that because that means he's all business in my mind. I'm like, okay, like he's like, all right, we talk about routine. He's like, I'm like this. I'm like that. This is how it needs to be. This is where I'm at. And I'm supposed to be here to play baseball. I'm getting paid a lot of money and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I mean, he's like, it's not rocket science. Like, okay, like I'll hit 4 home runs in a game, not rocket science. I'm supposed to do that. Yes. Thank you. That's great.
I think there is some intrigue. Like when we talk about personalities, usually we think of passion as like, yeah, we're winning and stuff, or I'm great. It's just as interesting to see a guy do that approach or have that approach.
I totally agree. I mean, kind of Jared Jones is like that a little bit too. And the way he is on the mound, like, you know, you think of him like a bulldog, you think of him like a pit bull, but then whenever you hear him in the interviews and he just kind of like, yeah, like this is, I was just out there, it was fun, and it's great to see my family here, and I guess I did pitch fast, but and kind of the Skeens is like that as well. So, and maybe it's a baseball player thing, but not as enthusiastic and doesn't need to be. But his 22-game hit streak is kind of the reason why Pirates were in the situations they were like on yesterday, in yesterday's game. You know, having 9 runs, scoring 9 runs, and you just wish that they could develop that consistency throughout the rest of the season. But it's in there, and I always make this analogy. I always make like, hey, like if your kid brings home A's in 9 weeks in math, and then the next 9 weeks they bring home C's. It's like, no, well, why are you bringing home C's? You need to be bringing home A's because I know that you can make A's. I know that you can bring home A's because you did before, so don't bring home C's. And that's kind of how I feel with the Pirates at times. And just sometimes it's just not clicking. I get that. That's baseball, but they've shown at times that they can play, that they can score runs, that they can play complete. And then sometimes it looks like they're just not even a baseball team. It is wild, and it's fascinating, and it's been like that for years. I get it. But you just would hope that they could find some type of momentum, as Callis and I talked about in the last segment, and maybe they'll find that today, and hopefully they do because they absolutely need it. They need almost every single game. And the reason why that they've even been remotely in any of this, and there's a lot of teams that are in this, is because of the pitching. And Mitch Keller yesterday you know, gave up some runs, but he is kind of that third piece to the puzzle of the pitching staff, as everybody knows, but is he that piece that is going to allow them to do other things? Is he that piece that is going to allow the Pirates as an organization to do other things? We'll talk about that next. Baseball is such a fun sport, man. I had gotten away from baseball for a long time. I loved it growing up. Obviously played growing up. I advise every parent that has kids to let them play at least T-ball, just for the structure and just for being around other kids. And baseball's, you know, that first sport that you can really play. And obviously I played T-ball, played Little League, and then stopped right around like Pony-ish League and, you know, going into middle school, didn't play. And I still followed it a little bit, but, you know, football took over my life. And, it was...
Yeah, you played in the NFL, right?
Yeah, it was a huge part of my life, and I fell out of love with baseball, and I had no interest. And then, you know, throughout that time, I didn't watch the Pirates that much. Like, you know, I did go to the 2013 wild card game, but I just went there for the atmosphere, really. I wasn't really even paying attention. But now that I have three young boys and, you know, they're really into baseball. They love baseball. I appreciate that so much that they've brought that love back out in me of baseball. Like, I won't miss a game. I won't miss a Pirate game. I know that I have to watch it for my job for this, but, I mean, I'll watch other baseball games now and just sit there and watch a Yankees game. I'll watch a Red Sox game. I'll watch a Dodgers game now. And, like, it really is fantastic, and I can see why that people love it so much, because I have fallen back in love, and it has a lot to do with my children playing the sport and loving it as well. So and Mitch Keller loves it, and he got paid last year $77 million. He gave up six hits last night, four runs, and he had six strikeouts, but he's been fantastic all year, probably going to be an all-star again. And that's kind of where we're at, right, Callis? Like, we're sitting here. You saw the Pirates score runs yesterday. You saw Telez get hits. You saw Telez steal a goddamn base. Like, you know, there was a stat, I think Hannah might have put it out there, or somebody put it out there, Hannah Mears, that every game that Telez has stolen a base in, his team has won. I think he stole a base in, like, 2017 with the Blue Jays. He stole two bases with another team he was with. And he stole a base last night, and then the rate goes to that team usually winning that he is on if he does steal a base. So you got an array of things. You saw O'Neal Cruz steal home. Would you count that as a steal? Did you see that?
Wasn't it the first and third play?
Yes, the first and third.
Yeah, it counts in the book.
That would count as a steal?
Yeah.
Because he kind of kept just, like, going, and he was, like, kind of shuffling, and he was like, oh, you're going to lob it in to the infield?
Oh, that's, I'm just going to go home. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you saw that, and we were talking yesterday, like, oh, no, Cruz, he hasn't even stealing any bases this year. He's stolen a couple. So he does that. I mean, you just saw a gamut of things with the Pirates, but it really comes down to the pitching, and they have kept them afloat. With Jared Jones and the way he started this year, his last outing, he threw eight strikeouts. Skeens, obviously, we've talked about him at nauseam, but it's fun to talk about because he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, and he is just unbelievable. But Mitch Keller has been fantastic as well. He has been so good, and, you know, yesterday they get the win, you know, gave up some runs, but that's going to happen. It's baseball. You're playing against other professionals. I get it. But will their pitching, the three-headed monster, allow them to make the appropriate moves before the deadline? It's one thing for Nutting to talk about it the other day. It's one thing to put pressure on Shelton if you're Nutting and saying what he said to the media and putting pressure on Charrington. But will they make the right necessary moves to enhance this team to give them an opportunity? And you were talking on the early morning show about how you did a little deep dive on Charrington and some of the moves he made whenever he was the GM of the Red Sox.
So he started real well because, you know, before him, they were acquiring all these big names because they had a lot of big promise. The Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, those big acquisitions by them. And they didn't make the playoffs in 2011 or 2012. So in 2012, when they found out they weren't going to make it, Charrington was the GM at that time, and he shipped those guys off to Los Angeles to play for the Dodgers, and he kind of started over. He was developing guys like Xander Bogaerts and Mookie Betts, but they ended up winning the World Series in 2013 with a few young guys mixed with a lot of veterans. And then after that, he signed Hanley Ramirez, and I talked about this last week, but it was just one of the It was one of the big moves that he was critiqued for, because he signed him, who, and he played shortstop all of his life in the majors, They had him play left field because they already had Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. That didn't work out very well, so he ended up becoming a pretty mediocre first baseman DH for them. He was released in 2016, so just 2 years after his contract was signed. And then Pablo Sandoval was the other big one. Sandoval won the World Series with the Giants the previous year in 2014. They signed him in 15 for a giant contract, and it was later found out that Sandoval is only really good in the playoffs and when he's playing for the Giants. If not, you know, I mean, he was out of shape. You know, he was getting hurt too, and it was just a very bad contract. So I was kind of talking about just thinking, like, is Charrington learning from that, where you don't just want to chase the shiny object just because? You don't want to chase those guys who look like they might be good and overpay them, or acquire guys who, you know, just have the big name but don't bring the production with it. Is that really going to help your team? Maybe he's learning from that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and then we kind of, you know, focus on that one player that everybody's talking about is Luis Robert Jr. And, you know, he hasn't been batting over – he didn't hit over 200 this year as a batting average this season. But he is a guy that has pop. Like, are you willing to sell prospects to – infuse a guy in the lineup who hasn't even been playing that good this year? Like, I think Crowley's like, I'd be okay with just, you know, slight upgrades at certain position. Now, one thing that I did see, Callis, out there yesterday from The Athletic was a potential proposal for the Marlins of the Pirates, and that was to get Josh Bell back and Brian De La Cruz, who is a left fielder and DH. I think that a move like that would definitely benefit them. You're familiar with one guy, and a guy that, you know, had a good year, what, about 5 years ago with the Pirates, and he can put him out. I think that's the move that I think the Pirates are going to be in. I think that that's the area that the Pirates are going to be looking in. I don't think they're going to go with, hey, we're going to give away 2 to 3 prospects for one guy.
Well, Crowley brought up a great question, too, because I initially thought that Luis Robert Jr. would be a good acquisition because – well, he could, you know, he could hit in Pittsburgh, sure. You know, maybe he'll be more motivated to play for a team that isn't a playoff race right now. And then he said, or you said, or a combination of you guys said, well, how's he going to hit in Pittsburgh if nobody else here could really hit right now either?
Right.
And so then I asked that same question, and I've been asking myself that same question with every other player I've thought of now that they could acquire. I think Vladdy Jr. could do it. I don't know about Ryan McMahon anymore, and I certainly don't know about Josh Bell because, you know, he's already been struggling in his own right in Miami, although the league average is down too, so I don't know what to think.
The league average is down, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. We're going to ask kind of, you know, Whaley, who has just been watching baseball, and he has that GM mentality, and that kind of is universal in all sports. We'll ask him about that, the league average, later. But,
like,
I mean,
I just don't know. If you even acquire these guys, are they going to hit any better here? Because it just seems like there's just an offensive downturn right now. With
there is across the league, but if you want one situation where that should be a question mark is Michael A. Taylor. Didn't he have 21 home runs last year? He can't even bunt.
That was an outlier, though. He was always a defensive guy, and I think last season was an outlier for him.
Then he had the error. Well, it wasn't an error. It was a triple, but he hit off his glove last night, and he's supposed to be one of the best defensive center. Like, he's been awful.
Yeah, I can't really argue against that.
So, how are you going to think a guy that even is hot or isn't hot right now is going to find it here? Or is he going to go backwards? If he is hot right now and you sign him and you trade for him, like, how can you not think that they aren't going to go backwards as every single, basically, acquisition has gone backwards? Now, Telez has found it a little bit, but I mean,
he's not hitting home runs like you expected him to, though, and that's why you signed him, and I think you're losing that production. Not that I'm gonna just keep beating him down for getting hit.
He's done better.
You need somebody with some power who can give you consistent power, and Reynolds has become that, but you need one more.
Yes. So, I mean, that's kind of where – and then everybody – you know, not many sellers this year because everybody's somewhat in it. So it's going to be tricky. And this is what, you know, you get paid for. You get paid a lot of money to be a GM for is to, you know, you got to put on your negotiation hat. You got to sell, not sell your team, but sell what you are selling, if that makes sense. Like, you have to manipulate. You have to persuade. You got to have all those characteristics as a GM right now, if you're Ben Charrington, to get what you want. And that's what Omar Khan has done for the past 2 years, and that's why he's done a fantastic job. But you really have to be working right now. And I'm not telling you all that are listening anything that you don't know, but it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch. There's something that was very interesting yesterday that happened that I was like, what? And then it got me thinking, I'm like, have I ever, what are the craziest things that I've seen during a live event like I saw yesterday? We'll talk about that next. Thorne Dickerson, Nicholas Harry Callis behind the glass. Adam Crowley, he is on paternity leave. He took paternity leave. When was that? When did he take it? Maybe in March before?
January.
It was January?
It was right after our party for the wild card game in the NFL.
That's right. Yeah, it was in January. So he took 2 weeks there. He's going to take 2 weeks now. And I think he has one more week left, which we'll see whenever he takes it. But he's out. He'll be back in 2 weeks. I will be here tomorrow, be out Friday. We'll be here Monday, be out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, and be back Tuesday. And then Crowley will be back Wednesday. Pat Bostic will join us at the top of the hour. And Ray Fittipaldo at 8, John Wehner at 8:30, and Doug Whaley from 9 to 10, like he is every single Wednesday. The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Callis, did you watch the game last night? Because last time that I did a show by myself, you didn't watch the Pirate game.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, I didn't this time either.
You didn't, but did you see the clip of the first inning?
No.
Did you see Riley Green at all?
He's their pitcher.
He is their pitcher.
Yeah.
He started yesterday. You didn't see what he
did. Wait, Riley Green or Hunter Green?
Same thing. Yes, that guy. Green.
Why Riley did I say Green Riley plays Green? For the Tigers.
No, he doesn't. Doesn't he play for the... Yeah, he does.
Here well, now we got to look this up.
Yeah,
I think
does,
Hunter
yeah.
Green's the pitcher.
Hunter Green is the pitcher. I was wrong, but I was thinking Riley Green because I just played my son in MLB video game, and he was using Riley Green, so I messed up there. It is Hunter Green, but did you see him yesterday? No,
yeah.
You didn't. No, you didn't. You obviously didn't because you don't know what I'm talking about.
I saw him in the game. I didn't say I watched the game happen.
You didn't see what he did?
No.
He threw up.
Oh. Well, that happens.
I mean, it happens on the mound?
It's happened pretty common these last years.
It's happened on the... Wait, what?
At least once a season.
No.
Yeah, look it up.
He was pitching to Brian Reynolds. Obviously, Brian Reynolds is the number two
pitch?
Hitter. It was... He threw a pitch. I think Brian Reynolds fouled it, and then he turned around and just threw up everywhere.
Yeah, that's happened. That's
what?
At least once a season, with a few different guys, yeah. You just see guys throw up on the mound. It's really gross. Yeah.
I was like, what?
There's a whole montage you can look up on YouTube, yeah.
No
guys throwing up on the mound, yeah.
Has anybody ever said the reason why that it could be? I have a theory.
Go ahead.
Do you know why?
Or dehydration?
Dehydration?
Overexertion?
I think it might be chew.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it might be chew. Some guys throw up. Yeah, it makes you sick. I don't know, but he might not chew. I don't know. That was one of the wildest things I've ever seen, though. Because, I mean, but you're saying that it happens all the time. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, not all the time. I meant, like, you're averaging once a season. You got 162 games across 30 teams in baseball. So not often, but, like, you'll see one every, like, season or two. Someone will just throw up on the mound, yeah.
He just turned around and yet. I was like, what's going on? Is he sick? Is he okay? Jeez.
Did you miss our guy Aroldis Chapman, too, when he was on the Yankees? Had to go to the bathroom real bad, and he closed out the game real fast. And instead of shaking hands with everybody, sprinted into the dugout.
Really? That's what I was thinking. Like, where are those weird moments? Like, obviously, Paul Pierce having to go to the bathroom is one where we play for the Celtics. Lawrence Timmons, he threw up, I think, whenever he was in a stance at linebacker whenever the Steelers played the Dolphins. And I know the reason why. Actually, this was like 2016, maybe a little bit earlier. It was around then. But the Steelers played the Dolphins like midseason, and it was hot. And you're going to Miami, and I know what happens in Miami. You have a little fun sometimes, and I think that there was a few Steelers that might have had some fun, and maybe Lawrence Timmons was one of them, and that's what made him throw up. But I was sitting there, I was like, what is going on? That is kind of wild. And thinking of all the different weird moments in sports, I'm trying to think. And I couldn't really think of any that were just like, what is going on here? In the finals, Derek White, who plays guard for the Celtics, he fell on his face and knocked his teeth out. Well, knocked the tooth out. Yeah, that was weird.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Throwing up. I hate throwing up. It's the worst.
I do, too.
I hate it. Despise it. Oh, it's the worst.
I threw up twice over Christmas. It was not fun.
You think it was something you ate?
No.
What do you think?
Well, kind of.
What do you think it was?
What do I think of? Oh, I know what it was.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to share.
You don't want to share? Okay. Did you see this four-leg parlay that this guy has that FanDuel put out there?
I have not.
Oh, my goodness. Do you look at anything?
I do look at things.
Oh, my goodness. All right, this guy has a four-leg parlay. First leg of the parlay, Connecticut winning the men's basketball championship, plus 550. Bang. Check mark. Got that one. Second leg of the parlay, Florida Panthers winning the Stanley Cup, plus 900. Bang. Got that one. You know what the last two legs of his parlay is?
What's that?
So he bet $1.01 to win about $1 million. There's $1 million. I think it's like $1 million, 2,880 and 69 something. However you do it, I can't. Every time we get to that many numbers, I can't read it well. But it's around $1 million. It is $1 million, a little over $1 million, 1.2. But he bet $1.01. So he already has two legs of the parlay closed out. The third leg of the parlay, the Pittsburgh Pirates to win the World Series. That's plus 20,000. And the last leg of the parlay is the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, my gosh.
And the cash, you know what the cash out option is right now, what he could cash out at to win? Now, he bet $1. Huh?
$40,000?
$11.29.
Oh.
Do you think he should cash out?
Should he cash out?
Yes.
No. You bet $1.
Do you think that there's actually a chance that the Pirates will win the World Series and the Steelers would win the Super Bowl? I don't even know if this guy's from Pittsburgh. It'd be great if he wasn't. But you would let it ride?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's a dollar. Who knows? Crazier things never have happened. No, they never have happened. That would be the craziest thing to probably ever happen for the Pirates and the Steelers to win. And at least, well, I guess it might have happened before, but that would be insane.
Indeed.
Yeah, I probably would let it ride. I would.
You bet a dollar.
Yeah. There's people who actually hit those, though, which it just like bothers me. I'm like, why can't that be me? Like, there'll be people who post like 10 leg parlays and they'll just hit every single one of them. I'm like, and then bet like 10 bucks to win like 100 grand. I'm like, how? How do you even have the, you know, what's to even do that and not cash out at some point? Especially like if you're getting if you have 9 legs that are check marked. And you're down to the last leg. How do you not even check? You just let it ride. It's wild.
Well, I was frustrated the other day, too, because remember the other week, because Crowley told me to bet $4,000, you know, instead of flushing it down the toilet.
Yeah, you would have won.
It, and I would have had $11,000.
You would have won.
Bet on the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Man. You would have won. Pat Bostick, he's joining the show next. First Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com.
Hey everybody, Jeff Phelps here. The National Sports Collectors Convention is coming to Cleveland, and so is PSA's tradition for grading the show's finest. Submit your collectibles for on-site authentication over 5 days starting July 24th and see why PSA is number one in preserving and enhancing value for cards, tickets, packs, autographs, and memorabilia. More info at psacard.com. PSA. Our label means more.
Plug in a Hyundai EV and the extraordinary happens. It's not just the ultra-fast charging capability and long range in the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6, or the adventure-seeking spirit of the Kona Electric, or the groundbreaking 601-horsepower Ioniq 5N. And it's not just the comfort in knowing that every Hyundai EV is backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited electric battery warranty. Hyundai's EVs transform a low hum into a loud adventure. They bring color to your journey and turn energy into main character energy. So forget everything you thought you knew about EVs and turn the extraordinary into something truly electrifying. There's joy in every journey.
EPA estimated 3 to 3 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 5 SE SEL limited rear wheel drive and 361 mile driving range for 2024 Ioniq 6 SE long range rear wheel drive with fully charged battery. Estimated range varies for other models and trims and depends on battery capacity, temperature options, and other factors. Limited battery warranty covers defects and materials for 10 years or 100,000 miles, whichever occurs first. See owner's manual for complete warranty details and limitations. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of our 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of our massive screen.
Touchdown!
Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Dive into a world of electrifying anime excitement with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination. Unleash the mayhem with Hulu's huge curated collection of anime shows, from legendary classics like Naruto Shippuden, Dragon Ball Z Kai, and Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, to the latest sizzling releases like Sandland, Mission Yosakura Family, and tons more.
Why are you fixated on me?
Because you're my friend.
That's right. Get fixated and get your anime fix with Hulu Animeham, your anime destination.
It's been a three-year wait, but the Olympics are back, and the CBS Sports Podcast Network has you covered with everything happening in Paris. It's a new era for the U.S. women's national team, and Attacking Third will tackle all the women's soccer action. First Cut will keep close tabs on golf, while Beyond the Arc will follow the U.S. men's basketball team on a quest for another gold. And We Need to Talk Now will provide comprehensive coverage of women's athletes at the Olympic Games. Follow and listen to all CBS Sports podcasts for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.